So yeah, give Mercy a big welcome, and we're just gonna pray. Father, we thank you for Mauricio, Lord. We thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for that it is food, it is fire, it is water to our souls, Lord. And we want to be doers of your word, not hearers only. So we pray that you give us tender hearts, Lord, listening ears, and that you will help Mauricio as he brings your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Nick. Okay.
Tea time.
Not yet. So while I prepare, my talk today is in two parts. We're going to do a why I should read the Bible and how I should read it. Okay? And for the why, we're going to do a quick play. We're going to do a little improvisation. So while my professional actors get ready, one of the actors was actually sick this morning, so I had to get the understudy, but he's no less talented. He's as well as talented as Daniel. So we got another Daniel. He came all the way from Hollywood quickly on his private jet, and he's here with us now for the play. So we're going to read why and how I should read the Bible, and our first part is why. I'm going to start. So my talk is called Why and How I Should Read the Bible, but the small play is actually a testimony. It's real. I read it in my devotional. And it's called, My God, Thank You That This Did Not Happen Yesterday. Even though her mother was a Christian, Mary was not interested in anything to do with God. One afternoon, she was walking past the hall where the gospel was being preached, and Sheila, a Christian, saw and invited Mary to enter. Mary replied, Perhaps another day. I don't have my Bible with me. Sheila offered her hers. Mary, finally convinced, entered. The message touched her deep in her heart, and Mary began to cry, confessed her sins to Jesus, and finally found peace through her faith in him. Before departing, Mary wanted to return the Bible to its true owner, but Sheila wrote a dedication for Mary in her Bible before giving it to her as a gift. That same night, Mary called to her mother to tell her the great news about her conversion. The following morning, the young lady suffered a horrible accident and was taken to the hospital. And there she asked the surgeon, Doctor, am I going to get better? No, it's not possible, replied the doctor with bitter honesty. Conscious of the gravity of her poor health, while she felt her life slipping away, she had the strength to lift up her arms and worship and exclaim, My God, thank you that this did not happen yesterday. Yesterday, Mary lived without God and was lost. And today she departed with serenity in her arms towards the eternal life with her Savior. Sheila frequently visited this hospital. And later that day, they told her that they had found the Bible next to one of the hospital beds with her name on it. She later recognized with heartfelt emotion that was the Bible she had been given Mary on the eve of her final day on earth. Dear church, the only for tomorrow, the most important decision that you need to make today, that is the message of the Bible. I didn't say this to the people to the first service. I felt in my heart that I say it to the second service. While I was preparing this talk, precisely this testimony, I was told this week that a cousin of mine was hit by a truck and a bicycle in Colombia, and thankfully he's recovering. I play football every Wednesday, and a guy who's 22 years old, he was in a quad bike in Spain with his friends, and he cracked his skull open. At this moment in time, he's in a coma. And on Friday, I was told that my auntie passed away from cancer. Don't leave the decision, the most important decision that you need to make in your life for tomorrow. Today is the day, and that is the message of the Bible. But let's go a little bit deeper into what this message means. I was speaking to my wife, Sandra, about Carity Wood. And we all love, when I was younger, we met when we were 17 years old in our church. And we've got great memories of going to the youth camps together. It was one of the places where I feel, when I look back, where I was touched the most by God. Where I feel for my first time, I wasn't a religious person, but I was in a relationship with God. There's a massive difference. There's a Grand Canyon of difference between being a religious person and having a relationship with God. And I remember we talked about these campfires that we used to have, and we used to tell stories about how God had done great things in our family. And we were speaking the other day at home, and we talked about how we're going to go to Carity Wood and have a campfire. So I don't know what was going through my mind, but I said, oh, yeah, maybe we can, you know, turn on the campfire by pouring some petrol on it. And my Sandra was like, what? Are you crazy? You're going to kill the children? I thought, yes, that's probably not the right thing to use as a spark to light the fire. So don't worry, it's not going to be me who's going to be lighting the fire in Carity Wood, I promise you. I've already told Nick that they're going to not to put me as lighting the fire. However, there is a fire that burns in the heart when it comes to reading the Bible. And that is the why that leads us into the how. So let us go to Luke 24. Let us go to Luke 24, verses 15. It's up on the screen as well if you want to follow. Or if not, you can follow through your Bible. And it says that two disciples were talking and discussing things with each other after they walked away, after they saw the tomb that was empty. And Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing as you are walking along? They stood still, their faces downcast, and one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem? You don't know the things that have happened all these days. What things? Asked Jesus. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and other rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since it all took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went through the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find the body. They came and told us that we had seen vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found, just as the woman had said, that they had not seen Jesus. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe in all the prophets and what they have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And verse 27 of the two verses that I want you to focus today that help us with the why and lead us on to the how we read the Bible. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all scriptures concerning himself. Have that verse in your mind, in your heart. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. He broke bread and gave thanks. Giving thanks is something so key as well in our approach to God. Nick, in the two services, has been asking people, what are you thankful for? And he began to open their hearts first by giving thanks and reminding them of the sacrifice that he did on the cross. And then he leads them on in 31. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Verse 32, the key verse for you today, church. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? There is a reason why you hear of Christians who give their life knowing that they can be persecuted and sent to prison for speaking about Jesus. There is a reason that people dedicate themselves to live in a relationship with God and Jesus. And why people will ask, how could this person do this? There is a reason. When you begin to read the word as it truly is, a fire starts burning in the heart of the human being something begins to happen. A spark is lighted in our hearts that can sometimes be like petrol poured on a campfire in our hearts. That is the first part of the how, church. To begin to understand and read the Bible, we need to look for Jesus in the scriptures to spark our hearts and to begin to live in a Christian life that is active and alive. And it's not religion or philosophy. There is something else. There is something within the Bible that comes to life, and it gives life to the human being who reads it and sees the Son through it. And that was the message. That was the burning in the heart that Mary had the night before. But we're going to have the privilege of going a little bit deeper. For those who know me, I love Bible studies. It's my bread and butter. As I said this morning, what was it? Chocolate brownie with vanilla ice cream. I'm kind of hungry after this. I'm probably going to get that after. Let's do a bit of Bible study together to see if we can get some burning in our hearts today, yeah? All right, so I'm going to get the PowerPoint for you. How to read the Bible. We know the why. The why was that Jesus came, God came. Not that the human were looking for him. Not that humanity was looking for him, but God came and died on the cross for our sins and resurrected on the third day. And that's what they were discussing with Jesus on the way, even though they didn't recognize him. That message touched the heart. But let's go a bit deeper into it. So if we go to the next slide, what did Jesus say to them in verse 27? It's starting with Moses and all the prophets. He told him about the things concerning himself. The Torah is known as the Pentateuch, the law, the five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. In those books, already there is a pull and a focus to show us the Savior, the Messiah, the woman's seed that's coming, the Son that is coming through the tribe of Judah. When we read the Torah, look for the Son. We were talking about the Lamb as we were worshiping, didn't I? I think Tom talked about the Lamb. What about the Passover Lamb? What is that pointing to? Those who had the Lamb and put the blood on the doors were saved. What was that pointing to? And then we got to the prophets, the poetic, the books, the Psalms and the Proverbs. Michelle talked about the Proverbs and the Psalms, the beautiful songs of praise. The book of Job. Who's suffering? I hear many people say to me, why is there suffering in the world? Go to the book of Job. Challenge yourself to see if you're ready for the answer that God is ready to give. And then we go to Isaiah, Daniel, and Joel just before we move on. And we talk about Isaiah, talking about the Lamb, talking about the servant king who was going to come and die 600 years before it actually happened. Look to the Son. They're constantly calling out. That lights a spark in the reader and in the hearer of the word. And then we go last, the second two steps, the gospel. We have Jesus literally speaking life. Jesus said, get up and walk. And people will get up and walk. Christianity is not subjective. It's objective. We see people that were acting one way, and when they become a Christian, a true Christian, we see them completely different from someone else. We see people who were addicted to drugs, who are no longer addicted to drugs. It's objective. We see people who have never forgiven, who begin to forgive. We see people who have never loved, begin to love for the first time. Christianity is objective, it's active, it's alive. It's not just written words, and we're going to see that in a minute. Actually, we're going to see it now, the letters and revelations. Because you see, after Jesus went to heaven and ascended, he said that he was going to send down the Comforter, and we see the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we will do greater things than these. Greater things than these. Blessed are those who did not see and believed. We have not seen, and we believe. And that is where the power of the Holy Spirit comes in and changes our lives. So number one of the how, look to the Son in the Bible. If you're not looking for the Son, you're not going to find Him. And the spark that brings life to your life is not going to come. Look to the Son. And we got number two, to the next slide, please. Time and space. Time and space. I was saying earlier on to the guys that we always discuss at work with our other engineers about how we all know how God created the world. Science is telling us every day, discovering a little more as to how God created the world. The Bible has always told us why. But science is only beginning to discover. And they always say to me, oh, they sort of relate a person who believes in God as to someone who's not as smart. So I say to him, that's quite interesting, because Isaac Newton, Einstein, and all the biggest scientists, the most important scientists in the world, if you would ask them, do you read their works, they would say that they believed in God. Some of them, perhaps not a Christian, but they believed that there was something there. Romans says, creation is enough to tell us that there is something more. Creation itself is enough to tell us that God exists. But, if you could go back again, Phil, please. Interestingly, we know all these great things, but we don't have a minute to spare for God in our time. That's why I put down time and space. How much time are we dedicating to God in our daily routine to read the Bible? So the how is important. Psalm 1:2 says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. Do you struggle to read in the morning? Well, have you tried in the afternoon and the evening? Do you work nights? Like I have to do sometimes, I work nights as an engineer, so I know I have to read sometime in the day, because I'm not going to be able to read in the afternoon or in the evening. Are we making time? Seek the Lord and His strength and His presence continually. How often should we seek the Lord? Come on, Munir, loud. Continually. Continually. I gave the example of Moses at the beginning. Moses, when he saw the burning bush, when God called Moses in the burning bush at the beginning of his ministry, and decades later, in the mountain, when he saw the promised land and God told him that that was the end of Moses' life, he needed God as much as he did at the beginning, as much as he did in the desert, as much as he did at the end. It doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian, we need to continually seek God. And it says why? And His. So if we're lacking in strength, what do? We seek continually to have His strength. There is a correlation between being weak in our faith and not giving space and time for God in our life. It's a reality. And lastly, we read the example of Jesus. In the morning, long before dawn, He got up and left the house and went off to a lonely place to pray there. Where is your lonely place? Teens, where is your lonely place? Church, where is our lonely place? Where do we go and seek God physically? In our bedroom, our kitchen, in our living room? Where is our space? In an office at work, perhaps? In a classroom? We need to find space. God created space and time for us. Let us find the space. Jesus went off to a lonely place and prayed there. If you're lonely and you go to a lonely place to pray, you'll realize that you won't be lonely anymore. I repeat that again. If you're lonely and you find a space to pray, a lonely place to pray, and look for Jesus, you will not feel alone. Let's go to the next one. Prayer is another how. How often do we pray? And prayer and reading the Word of God go together like mashed potato and peas. Sorry, I like to use food as an example because I like food. They go together really well. They have to go together. They're correlated. They're like holding hands like this, like a couple when they're married for the first time, or a couple when they express their love for the first time. They hold hands like that. Prayer and reading the Bible go together so well. And together, they lift you up like your two legs do one or the other, to keep the balance. Psalm 118:18, open my eyes that I may see and behold your wondrous things out of your law. Pray that if you're reading but you're not understanding and it's challenging, pray that we may see the wondrous things that God has done and has in store for us. James 1:22, another important aspect, and Nick mentioned it just before I came up. Be doers of the word and not hearers, only deceiving yourself. You could go to church your whole life and read the Bible back to front, upside down, in Spanish, English, and Hebrew, and Greek, and Aramaic, but if you do not put it to practice, your spark and your campfire is going to be washed out. Christianity is not a religion, it's not a philosophy, it's not a self-help book, how to make you feel good. There's plenty of those out in Amazon Prime. I'm not trying to do an advert here or any other or your local search or place that you want to get it. The Bible is active and alive. The Bible says that it's a double-edged sword that penetrates to the heart. Gone is the appearance that we give to other people. The Bible says that not one hair falls off our head without God knowing. He knows each and every one of our thoughts and our hearts. How can we hide from God? From where? Let's be doers. If we say we to others, love, are we showing love? As you know, I was my bike got stolen last year, and I was very angry. And I prayed to God, what would I do if I were to see the guy who robbed, because I know that he lives in the area. And I passed him one day when I was walking to the station. And at the beginning, I felt angry. And I said, God, how do I feel? And when I passed him, I felt pity. I really did. I didn't feel anger anymore. To be taken from other people, clearly there's something missing in that someone's life. And I said, God, I bless him. I prayed for him. God took away that anger from me because I have to show my children and my family that what I read, I put to practice because that is the gospel. The gospel is alive. Ephesians, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give us a spiritual wisdom and insight so that you may grow in the knowledge of God. Pray that you have knowledge and a spiritual wisdom and it will be given to you to see the Son. Finally, the last one before we finish, the Comforter. John 14:26 says, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name and will teach you all the things and remind you of everything I have told you. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals the Son to us? The Holy Spirit is the one who reveals the Son. Jesus said to them, look for the Son. Let us pray and look for the Holy Spirit to reveal the Son to us, so that our fire may begin to burn. And finally, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has really freely given to us. If you're reading the Bible and it's not challenging for you, then something is wrong. I think we've let 21st century thinking get into our hearts too quickly. It is good to be challenged. It is good to be told sometimes that we are wrong. And sometimes, like many for us, for me, is many times. It is good. Fire cleans the impurities that you have in metals. Hence why living a Christian life is not easy. Because we are being passed through fire to burn the impurities in our life. And many people don't like that. But God gives us His strength, didn't it? That's why we read in Chronicles. So if we don't have the strength to go through the fire, let us pray that we have the faith of Daniel and that we have God's strength with us to go through the fire to be cleansed. Church, let's go to our feet. I want you to think, if there is something in your life where that's taken away the time and space for you with God, it is time to begin considering of removing that part of your life. Is there something in our life that is stopping us from praying? It is time for us to find the time and space so we begin to pray. It is time for us to see the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Do we want to see it? Let's close our eyes. And I want to do this prayer. And to pray for the prayer, I want to say what Sandra was saying in Isaiah. When Jesus got up in the synagogue at the beginning of his ministry, he read out these words from Isaiah. I am the anointed one, the priest, the prophet, the king that has come. Jesus says, I came to preach the good news to the poor and the brokenhearted. Who is brokenhearted and poor in this place right now? When I came to God, to the church for the first time and I became a Christian, I thought I had everything in my life and I'm thankful for the things that God gave me. But I knew in the presence of God that I was poor and brokenhearted. I knew that there was something that needed filling in my heart that could not be fulfilled by anything else or any pleasure that I could get in life. Jesus came to preach the good news, to free those prisoners. Who is prisoner now? We can all be prisoners to something. It doesn't have to be a physical prison. Who is in prison right now? Who is addicted to something? Who is still prisoner to the past? Who is still prisoner to those who have been hurt before and they're still prisoner with anger and lack of forgiveness in their life? That can last a whole lifetime. Jesus came to recover the sight of the blind. Who is blind now spiritually? The disciples only began to see, to have their eyes opened, it says, when Jesus revealed himself and they finally had that burning in their heart. Do you want that burning in the heart? Pray to God that your eyes and our eyes are open so that we can finally begin to see him in our life. And finally, Jesus came to release the oppressed. And I pray, O Lord, for those of us here who are still oppressed, for either things that we have done or things that we've done to us, O Lord, I pray that those shackles are broken right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that as a church, we live a church that are free in your name. I pray, Lord, that we are a church that continually looks to seek your strength. I pray, O Lord, that if there are people who are lonely right now here, even though they might be surrounded and surrounded by people, but they're lonely, I pray that they're not afraid to go to their own, to be lonely with the Bible and open and look for Jesus so they can be alone no more. I pray for us who are sick, O Lord, and ill, that you may come and bring your healing hand over our lives. I pray for us, O Lord, who are still bound to sin, O Lord, that you free us and open our eyes and begin to see that Christianity is not religion, but a relationship with you. A Christianity is real, and that you're changing people's life for the better. And that with you, we will go when we die, O Lord. And we will live with you, worshiping you and praising you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you, church.
Amen. Thank you, Mauricio. Lots of food for thought. We don't have to rush away. It would be nice if you got time and you'd like to turn around, find somebody near you that you'd pray with. Maybe specifically about what Mauricio said. Somebody in the first service said to me they were even though they've been a Christian a long time, they're really struggling with reading their Bible. They still kind of, you know, they still were reading their Bible, but it had kind of, you know, got a bit boring. And so, you know, we could just pray that God would reinvigorate their Bible study. Somebody last week, Joe was with somebody, and they said that they'd hardly read their Bible for 2 years. And I don't know where you are in your prayer or your Bible study. It's an incredible book, and it brings, you know, life and power and joy, amazing things, you know, if we read it correctly and prayerfully. So why don't we just have a little honesty time and find somebody near you to say, is there something I could pray for you? Or maybe there's something that's really, bothering you at the moment and you'd like someone to pray for you. No obligation, but we're God's people. We're together. So if you'd like to, then do find someone to pray with. Thank you. And thank you, Mauricio.